No Getting Around Being Real. I'm Jevna.
And I'm Kisa.
And this is Talk 360. Hey, girl.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. We got to give a shout out to Jevna because yesterday was her birthday.
Hey, happy
birthday. So happy birthday to Jevna.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Whoa, look at that. We got two new voices.
We have two of our friends.
Yep, here in the studio with us to help us out with the 360 topic today.
And maybe a little bit of other stuff.
That's true.
There's Simon and Caden here. Some of you know them. If you actually like us and listen to our podcast, you know us, right?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Love it.
On the regular every
like
Monday.
360.
Caden didn't even know the name of the show.
Right, so he's a lie.
Last deception from the pit of hell.
I don't even know. Anyways, so yeah, we haven't done this in a long time.
We'll
do their rapid fire in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll help us out throughout the show and be a major part of the Talk 360 topic, which we'll get into later in the show. But you know, we normally, Jevna and I, when it's just us, kind of talk a little bit about the week.
Yeah, we do.
And Jevna's birthday was yesterday.
It was.
And she planned all the activities for us to do.
Did I? I guess.
Tried to get all the money out my pocket.
Is that what happened?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, it was worth it, right?
But just for good time's sake, I have to say this, Jevna.
All right. So BT Dubs and her side hustle, I guess, Kisa's a troll on the high. And she was trolling me my entire birthday evening. But we gonna let her live. I love you, and I love everybody who came out.
You already know, love.
You too.
What? Do you want to talk about what you did? Because you haven't talked about yourself.
I didn't really do much other than
all right,
hang
so
out with
I
you.
Guess that's a no.
Do I get to talk about my week too?
Sure.
Kaden, what happened in your little side of the world?
Now, I figured since you guys were chatting about your week, I might say some. Yesterday, after Jevna's birthday, you know, I had to preach another sermon. And the topic was fair weather friends. And I know each of us have a few of those in our lives.
So. Nah, my friends are ride or die. I don't know how your life is set up.
Nah, man. I don't know if I could, I don't know. Do I have fair weather friends? I don't know.
I don't know if you'll consider them friends because I don't, but you know.
I guess that's true.
Okay.
Simon, what about you? Talk
well,
to the people.
You know, on Saturday night, I was with you.
You were.
It was nice. We had a good time. Listened to some music, dance, one of my favorite things to do. On Sunday, I kind of just chilled and relaxed. I'm also trying to get, you know, up on my financial literacy. So I met with some friends. We discussed.
Oh,
that.
How was that?
That was nice, actually. You know, we covered just kind of what we will be talking about. So like Roth IRAs, stock trading, options, futures, just basically trying to survey all the different things that we could get into. And basically we're just trying to teach each other collectively, because collective intelligence is always better than individual.
Oh, that's dope.
It is. That sounds dope. Good.
I was actually supposed to go, and yeah, I totally forgot.
Well, I think this
fair
is a
weather
different.
Friend.
Caden coming for next? Okay.
But you can come next weekend.
Oh, man. Oh, you guys are doing it again.
Yes.
That's dope. Where at? So tell everyone where they could probably go get involved.
Well, this ain't an open invite for everyone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
sorry. Well, I guess you can't come. You can't sit with us.
This is exclusive. We only bring up those we choose to bring up. What does that sound like?
No, it's not exclusive.
We're going to let you live. It's fine, Simon. You can have your little secret hush-hush.
If they hit me on the low, I got them with the information.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. So
if
we'll
they know who I know, then they know me. They can get the contact from somebody. I won't put it on the air, though.
Okay. So, all right. We're going to get to know our guests a little bit more. You know, we already got to know them a little bit. They told us about their weeks. But all you know is they're about their weeks and about their names and nothing.
Now we're about to get into that. Good. We're about to do these rapid fire questions.
So we're going to go alphabetically. So I guess we're going to do Caden first.
Caden, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Go, Jev.
All right. Caden, first question for you. Looks, brains, personality. You can only pick two.
That's an easy one. I don't think looks gets you very far in our society today, so I'll definitely go with brains and personality. I mean...
Tatum about to give okay. us a good word.
Let us know.
No, I'm just saying. Lux, I mean, honestly, in a society today, I mean, we're more focused on, you know,
building
people up and, you know.
We ain't talking about society.
For me personally, that's how I think of my life. I don't think of my life as an individual. Everything I do is based on a society. So if we're talking about, like, building a community, that's what my partner, life partner, is supposed to be. Whoever I'm trying to be with is going to be the person that's going to be my life partner. So I don't really care about her looks. But personality and brains, come on now. We don't want no dumb girl now.
All right, I hear that.
That mind, though?
Come on, tell me about that mind.
All right. Okay, next question for you, Caden. Name one guilty pleasure.
Ooh, guilty pleasure. You guys know I'm safe. No guilty pleasure.
Oh, what?
No. You know,
rapid fire, Caden.
Right.
Okay. One thing I would say is a guilty pleasure of mine is that I do love networking with people. I just love meeting new people.
Why are you feeling guilty about that?
What kind of networking are you doing?
I just love meeting new people. And, you know, that might be a guilty
what
pleasure.
What dots you collected,
I like going out and meeting new people and to lounges and, you know, just getting to know people. So.
Okay.
I think he meant to say networking. we're going to let that one slide.
We will.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Guys, so much for me.
All right, okay, Caden, what was the last lie you told?
Oh, I just said I had no guilty pleasure.
All right, true that.
Okay. Last meal on earth, if you had to pick one.
If my last meal would have to be some pilau with some probably macaroni and cheese. One of my favorite meals is lasagna, so I'll have to throw some of that in there.
Okay.
But yeah, pilau is my thing.
All the starches. You don't want no protein.
Give me some chicken and some callaloo with crab. That's another thing.
Oh. Sounds good.
He brought in the ethnic food.
He did. All right. Last question for you. Describe yourself in 3 words.
Describe myself in 3 words. I like to think of myself as a really humble person.
Okay.
You know? Another thing that I'll have to use to describe myself is God-fearing. I really see God as the head of my life, and just the fear for him and the love for him really is what that really means. It's really what guides my path and really inspires my love for people. And the last word that I'll have to use to describe myself is a servant. I really see myself as a servant of my community and just doing whatever I can to serve someone. So God-fearing, a servant, and humble.
All right.
Look at you knowing to summarize. I appreciate you. That's what's up.
Oh, man. All right.
Simon, you ready?
Nah, not really, but.
So if you could kick it with any celebrity, who would it be and why?
Oh, I would have to say Kanye West.
Okay.
First and foremost, I got to ask him why he did what he said he wouldn't do in his Gold Digger song. That's first. But other things why is that I feel he has a platform, and he also has money as well. And those are 2 things I feel like that we could use to try to uplift, or not even try, but those are things that we need to try to uplift a black community as a whole. Now, he already speaks on issues within, like, the black community. He gives a, you know, analysis, or he critiques things based off class and race. However, just some of the things that he says is pretty evident. And I'm not by no means saying I'm the only expert on these particular topics, but by some of the things that he says, you can kind of see that he needs to sharpen his analysis a little bit.
So
I feel like just having conversations with him, using his platform to reach a broader audience as far as talking about basically black unity and things in that nature, and maybe using his music and just the influence of his word, I feel like Kanye would be someone I would want to meet.
Okay. Sounds good.
Simon is not one for speaking with a little bit of words.
No. But it's okay, though.
Sorry.
He's verbose.
Anyways.
It's all that intellect.
PhD brother over here.
That's true. You didn't even let them know. Ladies, he's getting his PhD, y'all. Okay.
You can only use one social media platform until you die. Which one?
Oh, that'd probably be Facebook, because I'm just so used to using it already. And
because you got to type out all those words. Exactly, duh. Right?
You know, those little tweets, that's just not enough for me, 140 characters. I got words that got to be spoken.
Okay.
Okay. Song that best describes your life.
Ooh. I'm going to say Sam Cooke's Somebody Ease My Troubling Mind. Because I feel like I'm always deep in my thoughts and there's certain things that I just be thinking about where I just need somebody to ease my mind sometimes.
Okay.
Did he say thoughts or thoughts? Okay. I thought I heard thoughts.
Kaitlyn trying to
play me. Thoughts? Is that what you said?
No, I'm just kidding.
All right.
Okay, I never get tired of blank.
Blank. Fill it in.
Sex.
A word?
Yeah.
He put it out there.
He said thoughts.
All right, last question for you. Okay, what would be on your tombstone? Here lies
the revolutionary brother Pan-African that gave his life for African liberation.
Okay. All right.
Well, now you got some insight onto our two little guests over here, Simon and Kaitlyn. So we hope you enjoyed that.
Yeah, we sure did. So obviously we're going to do our usual roundup for the week. And I feel like all this just pales in comparison to, like, I wish I could just go into talking to, like, my brothers. But a few celeb topics. Way to, like, I don't even know what I should say about this. But Kim Kardashian is planning to release a book. And it's not.
A book with no words. A picture book. This sounds right. I'm actually not surprised.
She gathered 352 selfies that she's going to put in this book that's going to be released on April 7th of 2015.
Go, Kim.
And how much you're going to pay for these selfies? $19.99. Now, tell me why I will buy a book and not just look at her Instagram.
Because it will be done. There are people who are that dumb.
Because you can put this on your desktop, you know. It's like a conversation started.
Right.
On your coffee table?
Right.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
I'll be like, because it's already on your desktop on Instagram.
I see that.
So who's Kim Kardashian?
Okay.
All right, Kaitlyn. Yeah, so anyway, this is actually a part, just a small piece of almost 1,500 photos that she took for Kanye West for Valentine's Day. Just to add that.
Okay.
So let me know if you're going to buy this book, but I certainly will not.
Me neither.
Next person is Rihanna, talking about pictures and covers and stuff.
Okay.
She covered the W magazine, and she covers a lot of magazines, but this one is only interesting because she covered it with Naomi Campbell and Iman.
Oh. Okay.
And everyone's, you know, saying how she's always capable of getting, like, these quote-unquote iconic kind of, like, gigs.
Okay.
Because she had one with Kate Moss before,
right.
And she did one with, like, Coldplay and Adam Levine and, like, just all these, like, really interesting people that typically...
Her team is on point.
Yeah, like...
That's what that says.
And then she also had some Eskimo horror stories, so that's another cover of that book where she, like, dresses in, like, snow gear and, like, really crazy makeup, and it was just really interesting, and I don't know, I just think people are really... thinking if the singing thing doesn't work out, she should definitely be a model. And she could, like, Jevna's face right now.
I mean, do you, boo, make that money?
You don't think she could be a model, Jevna?
I mean, I feel like she is a style icon because she is kind of a celebrity that's stylish. I feel like she needs to stay in her lane. Like, you're already not... Okay, I'm not even going to do that.
Come on now, Jeff.
Well, like, you're already not killing the game singing-wise. So
but
now
she
you,
is si- killing the
she
game.
She is a great pop artist. She is making
no,
money.
No, not singing-wise. I'm
That's
saying,
what
but
I'm
she,
saying.
But she's done so, so much, like, people really like her magazine
no.
covers. And I think
okay.
people really think, like, they... some
but
people would argue to
model.
Say... Well, some people would say she should just do modeling instead of singing because she looks better at it. Well, that... She's better at
she
that.
She looks better than she sings.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want her to stop. I'd be liking I like her little song, so please keep singing. I take pictures if you want to. Okay.
So next on our thing is this viral video that has gotten almost 7 million views now.
Oh, wow.
It came out a little over a week ago. And it's of our POTUS singing Fancy by Iggy Azalea. So we're going to play you a little bit of it just so you can hear exactly what they do. They kind of like piece together a bunch of his speeches into making the lyrics for the song.
Oh.
So here we go.
First things first, I'm the realist.
Drop this
and let the whole world feel it. And I'm still in the murder business. I could hold you down like I'm giving lessons in physics.
So the reason why I stopped it so quick is because he actually says the B word and, you know.
So someone has entirely too much time on their hands. I thought that he actually sang the song.
That's what I thought. I was expecting.
No, that's what I thought too. And I think that's actually, I think that's how it got so many views. Because
right.
People actually said, like, every title of every blog or wherever it was, it's like, oh, Obama sings Fancy. So
y'all
I go on there like, oh my God, yeah. So I went on there like, oh my God. And then it's like this piece together thing. Which I've actually seen one before. They did, what's the guy on NBC Nightly News? I can't remember his name, the white guy. Well, they did one for Baby Got Back, and they pieced together, like, all his news stories, and then they use, like, Al, one of the black guys, to do, like, a part of the song.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Rapper's Delight.
Yeah. Oh, it was Rapper's Delight. Yeah. So I've seen that one. So I think they're interesting, but to really sit there and find every single word and, like, as an editor, I know that must have been, like, really tedious.
You said 7 million views?
Almost 7 million.
I heard somewhere that if you go over a million views on YouTube, you usually get paid. So probably end up being worth it.
Maybe. But this has ads on it. So I guess, yeah, they are some kind of money on there. They put ads up, and you have to play the ad first before you can listen
to
it. You have
that YouTube hustling now.
Word.
Well, who am I gonna poke?
I feel misled, but I'm gonna let it slide.
Anyways, Jevna's gonna go into our update on.
Oh, we got a little international news update for y'all. So I need y'all to understand that just because it's not the hot topic anymore, Ebola is still out here and it's still real. So we just wanted to let you guys know what was going on with that. So apparently the New England Journal of Medicine came out with the World Health Organization, and they're saying that they think they, like, figured out who patient zero was, so, like, where it started. They think it was actually a toddler, a two-year-old in Guinea. They're saying she, like, showed up with symptoms, died 6 days afterwards. It spread throughout her family. Mother, sister, grandmother passed away. They actually think that the funeral for the grandmother is where it started to, like, spread to cross villages. And then we are where we are today. So as of today, I looked earlier on CNN. They said that right now 1,779 people are infected and 961 have already died. So it's still real out here.
It's still real.
And, I mean, I know you guys, we talked a little bit, right, last week about how they did come up with, like, a potential, a very, very experimental drug.
Oh, yeah.
That was used on the two.
Oh,
American,
that's what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. ZMAPP.
Okay.
I'm going to call it ZMAP. But apparently the two Americans who did take that are doing okay as of right now. But, like, apparently the World Health Org, like, is actually meeting today to talk about the ethics with regards to actually administering the medication.
Because they probably don't know symptoms.
They don't know anything. So at the end of the day, it is a situation where they could be doing more harm than good treating people with it.
True.
So we'll see. We'll, of course, keep y'all abreast on any more updates that come as the weeks go on. But hopefully this is, you know, getting under control as we speak.
All right. So in Boston news, because I know not everyone who listens is from Boston, but as you know, we struggle with liquor. We don't have happy hour. It's not a lot of liquor licenses.
No, everything shuts down at 2.
Yeah, not a lot of liquor licenses in urban areas of Boston. So Ayanna Pressley, one of my favorite people ever, who's the Boston City Councilor at large, she started an initiative about a few years ago to try to get more liquor licenses. And so 75 new liquor licenses have been approved, but it's going to be like over a period of time that they give them out. But the thing is that 60 of the 75 licenses are to go to urban businesses. So in Dorchester, in Mattapan, in Roxbury. So I think that's pretty good. And I think if they're capable of getting those licenses, then probably their business will boom a little bit more.
Yeah.
And obviously bring more money to the city. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But It was passed unanimously, but we're waiting. I think we're still waiting on.
So, like, the bill passed. So, they tacked it onto, like, the economic development bill in Massachusetts. So, but it passed unanimously as a bill, but now it's still sitting waiting for Governor Deval Patrick's approval.
Right. So, hopefully that, you know, we get that going.
That's definitely good news for the Black community. I think, I said that's definitely good news for the Black community. Another thing about the liquor license that I've noticed is that it's almost like a $500,000 for
it
any Black business to really get that going. And apart from having to pay so much money for the liquor license, since a lot of times the Black people don't have the type of representative that they need to get these things passed, to get actually get the licenses even when they can raise the money. So Ayanna Pressley, real big ups to her for doing what she can for the Black and the urban community.
Exactly. So, you know, last show, well, two shows ago, actually, we did a whole show on the Eric Garner case. And now we have another murder of a Black man.
Let's be clear. It's a teen.
Well, teen. A child. Well, not a child. But
still.
Yeah. So it's all over the internet now about Mike Brown. We've probably all heard the name. And the details are a little bit murky, but I think they're murky because the media is like warping everything that's happening. But most eyewitnesses say that he was gunned down pretty much for no reason.
Yeah.
It initially started out that he was he stole candy from a store or something like that.
That's what they're trying to say.
Then it turns out that he was in a car trying to take the cop's gun. So like the story changed a little bit about why he was stopped. I actually watched a video from a supposed eyewitness on YouTube. So he kind of like described the whole scene. And he was saying how he did go into the store, but, and I believe he admitted to him taking something, but the store never called the police.
Right. So it should have escalated.
It should have never been cops at the scene for any reason because they never noticed, I guess. But anyways, he was gunned down. They're saying 10 times, but 8 to 10 times. And that witness also said he had his hands in the air. So the whole idea of him trying to take the cop's gun was not.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it wasn't true. Then a lot of things have happened. There have been like riots in, been riots, looting. And I think now the media is trying to focus on the looting and not necessarily the shooting.
Right.
Another interesting thing that I saw on Twitter too was, they chose to put up like, quote unquote, thuggish photo of him as a picture. And instead of like, there was another picture of him sitting in a chair, smiling, like looking, you know, just like a regular teen.
Person.
Yeah. And so there was a Twitter trend that got called, like, what picture would they use if I got murdered? So it was a whole bunch of people with two photos side by side, putting up a picture of them doing something, you know, questionable, quote unquote, whether drinking or smoking, or some people even put up pictures of them having sex. Next to like a graduation photo or, you know, so it was like a question of whether,
I mean, there's always that issue.
Yeah. How can you use one picture to say what a person is like or whatever?
And when it's, a Black person, it's almost always something that is like dehumanizing or like criminalizing or, you know, something to that extent.
Yeah. So, that was, you know, that was interesting. And another thing that I thought about too, I'm like, so even if someone puts up a graduation photo, that too is not enough to say that that person's a good person.
He's a good person.
Yeah, right. So it's just kind of problematic to, you know, distribute this one photo and say this is a nice person or a bad person or whatever.
Well, we know how that goes. The media for a long time have been demonizing the Black man and the Black community, Black females also. But so this Mike Brown situation comes as no surprise to me. Putting up a picture of him gangbanging. I'm currently now a minister at a church, and I'm sure if you want to find some real dirty pictures of me, you can probably find it also. But what really matters is what the person is trying to do currently in their lives. And even if he might have done something wrong, that doesn't give anybody the right to take his life. And I think a lot of times, unfortunately, the only person that really lose their lives for doing wrong things is the Black people in Black communities. When white people do things in their communities, nothing really happens to them. Sometimes they get a slap on the wrist or a warning. But when a Black man does something, they have
or
this.
Or doesn't do anything.
Or doesn't do anything. Right? At that.
If he stands there with his hands up.
Mind you that if he doesn't do something,
right,
it usually ends in a murder. So
Yeah, there's no Afalunza or whatever they called for us.
Right.
You know.
No, we don't get off scot-free.
We don't get no created diagnosis to basically as an excuse for why we did what we did. And like you guys said, we may not even did anything.
Yep, definitely. So we're still, you know, we obviously could do a whole nother show on this. We've already done one. But it's just interesting that these things are so common now. We did a whole show with like three or four or five or six cases.
Instances.
And now we're adding another one like 2 weeks later. So it's.
And there will be
don't
more.
Worry. Yeah. There will be more.
A week from now, two more is coming.
Before the summer's over, we should just tally it up.
Crazy. So.
We should start rioting, actually.
Keeping
started rioting. As you can see, 32 people got arrested from rioting and looting.
Spread it to Boston, as I said. Just get my contact. I'm down.
Oh my gosh.
Esoteric justice.
Oh boy. Let's not get Simon started.
Right.
But anyways, so speaking of, I don't even know, like neighborhoods or being, you know, just looking at a certain space and thinking something's wrong. Two software developers, I guess, they create an app called Sketch Factor. And basically, it's developed to get people to kind of write about a neighborhood, like something that happened there. So they kind of ask, ever experienced something sketchy? Add it to the map. Want to avoid harassment? Tired of being profiled? We've got you covered. But the issue with this site, well, app, is that the majority, or if not all, the neighborhoods are populated by Black folk or
the
minority individuals. Yeah,
yes.
All the sketchy
areas. Well, that's not new news to me. I already know how people think of our community, so.
Yeah.
And so the app launched last Friday. I actually looked it up on iTunes today, and it's real life. It has a whole bunch of ratings and reviews and stuff. Yeah. And there's tons of people. My favorite, though, are the minority people who are like, don't pretend like we don't need this. Like, even I want to avoid these neighborhoods, too. You know, those are my favorite people.
Oh, yeah. Cool. There's always one or two of them to come caping.
Or three of
those. Yeah.
Yeah. So to respond to it, though, they had a post on their blog that said they're not racist, bigots, or sexist, and any discriminatory post.
It's just all sketchy things happen to be Black.
Yeah. So.
That was
society we live in now, though, today, is that nobody's a racist. There's racist things that tend to happen. Donald Sterling ain't racist. These other, the cops that kill Black men, they ain't racist. The police racial profiling that happens in New York, none of them are racist. It's just things that tend to happen.
Right.
Nobody's racist in today's society. We post racial because Obama got elected twice.
We're not gonna go there though. We can't go there today. We can't.
We can't.
I know you want to, Si. I know you do. But we can't go there today. But that's pretty much it for our roundup.
Yeah. All right. So we're gonna get into our phase of the week. It would have been nice if we kind of invited our guests to do it too, but whatever. Sorry. But this week it's Georgetown cupcakes. I feel like, for me at least, I had so many of them this week. I tried Jevna's favorite flavor, which is like cookies and cream.
Yeah.
But I usually like to get one of the cupcakes that have the cream cheese frosting because the cream cheese frosting is amazing. So I think I had 2.5 cupcakes this weekend. So I just had to say that was my fave.
Okay. So my fave of the week, I told y'all before how I have one of my friends who I meet up with her on like for lunch once a week.
Guess what, people? You know it's food. Not always has food.
Listen, it's not always food. Sometimes it's music.
What? 5 out of 8 times it was food.
Whatever. You know what? Let me finish. So the point is, I go into these food trucks. I'm trying to help y'all. I'm trying to put y'all on.
She's trying to make y'all
I know what the
fat.
People want. You don't want to talk about cupcakes. At least I'm talking about real food. Anyways, my fave of the week is from Stoked Wood Fire Pizza Food Truck. I've actually had two of their pizzas before at this point. But I tried one of their specials this past week. It sounds weird, y'all, but bear with me. It was their corn, bacon, scallion, and chive oil pizza. It sounds nuts, but it tasted really, really good. So I suggest you guys look them up through City of Boston. They have like a whole food truck schedule. If you ever get a chance to check them out, check them out.
All right. So we're going to get into our 360 topic with our guests. Normally we have like a reasoning for bringing this up.
We try to have the topic coincide with some current event or some happenings.
Right. But the really big issue these days, obviously, was Mike Brown, and we already did a show on that. So we thought we have, you know, two of our friends here who we've gone through the whole like religious topic, and you know, Caden is used to hang out with us a lot. Just kidding, but you know, he's kind of slow the roll a little bit, and then we have Simon, and so.
Okay, so
Jonah, save me.
Yes,
Simon's so giving me the eye.
Today we decided we were gonna just have a discussion about, I guess, being like the religious minority is, I think, how I want to call it. So, with regards to religion, I feel like this is fair for both Kisa and myself. I don't know if we would necessarily say we are religious. If anything, I'd say maybe, at least for me, I'd say I'm more spiritual than I am, you know, attributing to a specific doctrine with regards to a specific religion.
Right.
But the two guests we actually invited to the show today are kind of on opposite sides of the spectrum.
Right, which is why we asked them to come.
So if you guys, want to speak on what your beliefs kind of are?
Well, wait, let's just say this though, real quick. The reason why Devna mentioned the whole spirituality thing is because millennials, so obviously we're in the millennial time frame, as you know, they tend to now be more associated with spirituality than with religion, more people. But some stats that we found interesting was that black millennials tend to still are more inclined to identify with a religious thing, whereas white people are less inclined. We don't know why. You know, we could probably extrapolate and think
why. I'm
sure
we'll probably talk about it.
But then we also wanted to discuss, like, but what Jevna and I have noticed and what we think is that we find it hard to talk about these topics. So it's like a difficult topic to talk about, whether you are religious and whether you're
like
not.
I feel like, I guess, at least for me, in my experiences, I feel like I'll even limit it to millennials in like the black community, let's say, right? I feel like most people are talking what we're talking about, Kisa, kind of being in that middle ground. You know what I mean? You do definitely believe in a higher power, but like with regards to whether or not you want to follow the Pope or follow this or whatever the case might be, you know what I mean? You don't subscribe to something like, you're not subscribing to the Ten Commandments or the Torah or whatever the case might be. I guess, yeah, we just wanted to talk about what it's like, maybe, I guess, being on what, I guess, the media,
your family
and friends.
Right, because obviously the older generation, and it's shown in stats as well, like, they're definitely more religious and affiliated to like, a denomination or whatever. So they are more inclined to say, I am Pentecostal or so-and-so, whereas we're like, oh, we're just spiritual. We don't really go to church. We have brunch on Sundays and day parties on Sundays. We don't really go to church anymore, you know, type of thing. So with that being said, we just kind of wanted y'all to get into a little bit of
your kind of experiences. Just let the people know what beliefs you do or do not have, and then just take it away. And we'll start talking from there.
All right. So I'll start.
This is Simon, by the way.
This is Simon. I'll start. It's probably going to be very brief, but I would identify as atheist, so I do not believe in a higher power. I do not believe in God, and I'll just say that in the black community, there's less than 1% of those who actually identify as being black atheists.
Right. Yeah. Do you? Let's get into it.
Okay, so I'm Caden, and I'm a licensed preacher in the AME Church, so I believe in a higher power. I believe in God. I believe in the Trinity, and a lot of people, I would say also, especially millennials, like Jevna said, they believe in a higher power, but they don't believe in following the principles of a particular denomination. And I think that would distinguish me from a lot of millennials. I believe in following a lot of the principles that the Bible teaches.
Okay. So as millennials, and as we see here, we're very different in our beliefs. So how, I guess, comfortable, even being on the show, or uncomfortable, have you been, like,
Or like maybe like share an like what do you feel like your experience has been, right?
Yeah.
So like that's very broad and general, but I could just speak to Simon once again. I feel that it's almost taboo to exclaim or to profess that you are an atheist or that you don't believe in anything. And then when I tell people that, they're always questioning me, like second guessing, like, oh no, but you can't be really atheist. Like, you gotta at least believe in something. You at least gotta believe in some sort of higher power. And then I go and I tell them, like, no, I do not believe in anything. Like,
right.
I'm identifying as an atheist, which that means no belief in a higher power.
Do you ever find that people maybe like move away from you or do anything out of the ordinary? Like,
So me personally, I would say I haven't lost friendships from it, but I have seen people that have. So once someone has quote unquote came out as atheist,
mm-hmm. like that's a real thing you would say?
Yeah, yeah, that's okay. Something that's talked amongst like Black atheists.
Okay.
That like once you've come out to certain people where religion is, because it's a part of your identity. So now that you're saying you're atheist, you're in essence like are basically like a value violation, like of their values. Because
okay.
Now you are basically against what they, basically their identity,
like right.
You're identifying as such. So some people will be cordial with you, but they will distance you from them. So I've got a little bit of that from some of my more religious friends, but we're still friends, so I haven't lost friends. But there's other people I've known that they've lost friendships
mm.
once they've kind of professed that they are not religious.
Okay.
And I also feel like...
Is it something... Sorry, go ahead.
I feel like people tend to, at least in the Black community, assume that you're religious already.
Okay.
It's like an assumption.
Mm-hmm.
They say certain things, like I went to a conference and where it was primarily for people of color. And there's a lot of Black folks there. They say, oh, you're so blessed, this and that. Oh, thank God for us being here, this and that. And I just want to be like, nah, don't thank God because I don't believe in that.
Right.
And they're saying that to me, and I don't take it as like disrespect because it's an assumption, but it's like, it's just that assumption that goes. But then if I choose not to tell them most of the time, but there has been certain times when I say that, and they don't know how to react.
Right.
To me now. Now it's something different. It's like, well, how can I react to you? You heathen, because you ain't believing in
like you feel like they take it some kind of way.
Yeah.
Almost,
and
okay.
Most of the time they do. It could be maybe some of my perceptions that they're taking it different.
Okay,
but I
that's
feel like
true.
Most of the time that the behavior has now shifted.
Okay.
Right.
Now that they know this additional information about me.
Okay. So. And what about you, Caden?
To speak to my experience, it has been an interesting walk to say the very least. When I first, and I don't want to use time. I'll use Simon's term as came out as Christian. It's funny that I think anyone that's an outlier in society typically faces some type of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting in a society that claims to be almost 80 to 85, almost 90% Christian, that being Christian is an outlier. So for my entire life, because it's been the religion of my mother, I've already always thought myself to be Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Say, my mom's Christian, therefore I am Christian, and I believe in Jesus Christ. It was only until I really started practicing and really started getting into the Word, and that came through personal experience for me. It wasn't really anything my mom did. It was anything anyone did. I personally felt, and then we don't have time, and I could talk about my testimony, but God personally revealed something to me that nobody else could have revealed. And from that moment, I had no choice but to believe. From believing, a lot of people, like Simon said, distanced themselves from me. And that's because, like Jevna mentioned, millennials, we tend to, you know, we like to have fun. We're spiritual people, believe in a higher power, but we love enjoying ourselves. And that includes partying, that's twerking, dancing, you know, that walks. You know, we like to have a good time. And unfortunately, when you say, you know, certain things I just can't do anymore, you know, because I'm deciding to follow this value system,
mm-hmm.
you find yourself distanced from all the people that are really a part of your community. And it's not an intentional distance. I mean, they don't want to push you away, but nobody wants to be around someone that they feel like they can't be themselves around.
And I'm sure that's on both sides. Do you know what I mean? Like, at least I would, I would assume. Like, I feel like it could be an uncomfortable situation on your end and on their end, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. And that's why I pull out this the stop with the outlier, because I think even the black millennial generation, maybe not so much in our parents' generation, but any type of whether strict religious adherence or no religious adherence is outliers in the society.
Right.
And they tend to face some type of rejection. The one thing I would say that unfortunately, and I'll say this because of the religious type, is that a lot of the activities that we like to participate in, if you try as best as hard, and we know we all fall sometimes, but if you try really hard to adhere to this those activities, sometimes you find yourself excommunicated or distanced from the people that you love the most.
I can definitely, you know, I think that's, I would say that, because I feel like, as you mentioned, a lot of people, there's also, I read on in some article that they, when they say they're Christian, their identity is based on what their parents raised them as.
Right.
So, I mean, for a lot, well, for
like
a while.
Like, even me, honestly, right now, I would probably, like, initial off-bat reaction, if you were to ask me my, like, religious affiliation, I'd probably still write Roman Catholic. But, like, when's the last time I've actually been a practicing Catholic? Like,
right.
I've had all the sacraments I could possibly have up until this point, except for, no, hasn't nobody put a ring on it yet. But, like, no, but, like, real life, like, am I sitting here, like, oh, what the Vatican says is Bible? No. Do I believe in papal infallibility anymore? No. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not a practicing, like, living, breathing Roman Catholic. But no lie, like, if somebody were to ask me today, I'd probably still check that box off if it was on a survey.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't anymore, but there was a time when I would have. Because, I mean, I went to church from birth until, like, 20 when I was like, okay, I don't want to come here anymore. And it wasn't even on the principles at first, it was sort of like, okay, I really just don't like this church, so mm-hmm. I don't want to go. And it was never like, oh, let me look for a new
push to come back.
Yeah, it was like, let me look for a new church home. It was kind of like, okay, I'm just not going to go anymore. And then that kind of like spiraled into like thinking,
actually asking
questions mm-hmm. and questioning certain things and all of that. So that's kind of how that, you know, got into play. But I do think that I get what you're saying in terms of like the two ends of the thing, because most people, if you ask them, it's okay to be like, oh yeah, I'm Christian, but it's okay also to say I'm a Christian who doesn't go to church. I feel like that's the new norm, like
right.
for millennials, so, like I'm a Christian who just doesn't go to church all the time. And I don't pray.
I'm a Christian, but I still have my own value system. It's
yeah.
like, no, I mean, this is me. I'm not even going front. Like this is me. Like, I'm a Christian, like
I call him part time Christian.
Is that shade?
No, I mean a little bit. That means like half
like,
the time, you know, I might
but
be Christian.
No, but
like,
I mean,
but when I'm out on the club Friday night, I'm not so Christian.
I mean, I still think because, well, me personally, and I'm not gonna go too much into like my personal whatever path and experience, but like I feel like at the end of the day, what is still more important is just what you value and what your value system is. And like, I think at the end of the day, the most important thing is like valuing human life, like valuing people and valuing, I guess, society. And you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So I feel like,
I think for me, the Christian value that I kind of follow in my non-Christian life is do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Like, that's kind of just how I live my life. Like, if I don't want you to do it to me, I'm not going to do it to you. And that goes for like anything. Kind of.
Right.
Which I find to be good for me.
So I guess personally, I always have a difficult time. I mean, I think I am just a person who is very easy or has less difficulty, I feel like, than most, like kind of seeing things from other people's perspective. But I do think it's still kind of hard for me to like understand how you guys can even have the experiences you kind of have. Like, because I don't, like, if you're not trying to marry the person, and if you're not talking to them about religion 24/7, I don't see how somebody could shut, you know, either one of you guys out, you know, for your beliefs or, I guess, lack thereof in what they believe. Well, no, like, you know what I mean? Like, with regards to a higher power. Because I'm like, I don't know. I just, me personally, like, the way my life is set up, I don't get it. Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
So does this dictate how you date?
Oh.
Uh-oh. You got that first, man.
Does this dictate how I date? I think it's imperative in your dating life to find someone that is compatible to you. And that doesn't mean that someone is exactly like you. You want someone that's complementary. And one of those things is that you and that person is heading in the same direction. I mean, yeah, might be a
you're
different.
Equally yoked. I hear you. Spit yeah, that.
I try not to use too much Christian terminology when I'm talking to people. But yes, the correct
he's
term
trying to keep it secular.
Equally yoked. And that comes from the ancient days when they used to till the land and they used to tie oxen and oxen together.
Break it down, brother.
and those two oxen go together and they make a good work. But if you tie an ox and a donkey together, now the donkey's just drifting off straight because, you know, the ass is about whatever the ass is about.
As in and, donkey, y'all. Yeah,
as in donkey.
We not lying. We all right.
And so he's just drifting wherever he wants to go, and now he's pulling the ox, and now they can't tell the land that they're supposed to. And I think it's imperative to find someone who has the same vision in life as you. And for me, that includes being a Christian.
Okay.
So for me to answer that, it's hard. I waver. I go back and forth.
Okay.
And as I said, it's because 1%, less than 1% of the black population is identifies as
so Asian. You can't say no to 99% of the honeys. That doesn't make sense.
Oh, and also, because you could bring... You, exactly. And then I'm saying, like, you know, interracial dating, I'm not going to look against it, this and that, but I just feel in my life, I'll probably, you know, end up 99.999%, I'm probably going to marry a black woman.
Okay.
Okay.
So with that, so we can look at religion within gender,
mm-hmm.
The most... between like men and women, women also practice it more than men do.
Right.
So here we have majority of the dating pool or the potential wifey pool being religious.
Okay.
So now it's something I have to like deal with because more likely than not, they're going to have or follow some sort of religion.
Right.
So although in my life, I know that I would probably prefer someone who also identifies as atheist. Cause mm-hmm. that is, Kaden was saying, you know, we got two oxen moving in the same direction. However, you know, relationship now talking
so like,
about
oh, sorry.
We're like, you know, different different religious spectrums. However, like I've talked to people in the past who are also, you know, identify as Christian, things like that, and it has you know brought up certain issues
mm-hmm.
or. It's maybe something that's not talked about to begin with. On my in my mind, it's already in the back of my mind.
Mm. Okay.
Because like this is a conversation that's
going to happen.
Mm-hmm. But in the back of her mind, like initial when you meet someone, it's not like the first thing you sort of talk about.
Right.
And like I said, it's already an assumption that you are black. So then you are not an assumption that you're black because you know I'm black. But assumption that because I'm black,
yes.
I am probably religious or at least. Believing in a higher power.
Right.
Then I dropped a dime on her. I'm like, yo.
Like,
I'm
no,
atheist.
Not at all.
It's kind of like, yo, like, they get to take a step back. And that's been my experience sometimes.
Okay.
Then we have conversations around that, and then it goes from there, and it can either go, you know, left or right, or we can go in the same
direction.
Well,
Simon is single, y'all, so
I guess it's gone.
Obviously,
left.
My left.
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're not? Oh. Okay.
Yo, put that on the.
He's about to get Simon in trouble.
That was a quick response.
Got to.
Yeah. Shut him down. That's what happens when you assume.
Yep.
Well, last I heard, listen, fair weather friend.
If you don't know, like you know.
Oh, what? Oh, my God.
You guys are too much for me.
Anyways, so I guess my question was going to be like, how do you bring that, like, is it something that you try to bring up as soon as possible, or is it kind of like, okay, like, month, 2.5, and it kind of comes up, or is it, like, this organic thing, like, how, like, I don't know.
No,
like, do you make an effort to?
I would be strategic about it, because I feel like it's an important part of people's identity. So, I'll try to make it as organic as possible, but as I said, it's, like, it's in the back of my mind already,
mm-hmm.
so then I have to kind of bring it to the table somehow.
Obviously, before
have, like,
things get too serious.
Yeah,
right.
I don't have a timeline or whatever, or just to have a conversation entertaining it. I feel like most, this is just me though, like, if I'm talking to someone, either romantically, this and that, I'm entertaining, like, oh, this could potentially be the person that
right.
I could go, you know, long term with at least. Maybe mm-hmm. not marriage, but like, oh, in a long term relationship. And that's something that I think would have to be talked about. Because then, not only from that, at some point it has to be brought up, because then we have, this is like also in the future, children.
Right.
People usually, you know, you're indoctrinated into the religion that your parents,
are.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So then here you are atheist and here you are Christian. And I'm like, oh, I don't want my kids raised in the church, or she may want the kids raised in the church.
Right.
So here we are at a conflict.
Right.
Which are could be a potential conflict.
Right.
I didn't pose this question to Caden mainly because if Caden says his like occupation or talks about his life, it's going to come up automatically.
Yeah.
Right.
Essentially, Christianity and me being a Christian is an essential part of my identity. Just as I am a black man in the United States of America and the struggles I face because of that. I think essentially anything that's important to me, like that is important to me, will come up in the initial phase of our conversation. So, yes, you can tell I'm black by how I look, and the next thing you're going to know is that I'm a Christian man. You guys can tell one of probably the first conversations that I had with you guys, I found some way to brought up Jesus just to say his name, like, you know. And I think it really helps to bring people
together. You be
using
it to read people? You be dropping that J-bomb, see how people react?
Well, I think it's important to, you know, like I said, we want to discuss what's important to us, and Jesus is important to me.
No, that's
so
fair.
In any communication that I'm having, yeah, I'm going to drop the J-bomb, I guess. Let's edit that part out. I guess the G is God.
Yeah.
We get it.
We got it, bro. We got it, dog.
Real quick, anything like was it difficult for you maybe, or you like to talk about it with family, or was family very open to the idea?
Right now, surprise, I'm atheist. No, but like, no. So here's my thing, and like, so I'm very active on Facebook, as I said, like that's the one medium I would use. So I often have conversations about my atheism and why I've chose to be atheist and X, Y, and Z on Facebook.
Okay.
So I feel like a lot of my family is probably found out through Facebook.
Okay.
Because before then, I was keeping it like
kind of hush.
Yeah. Okay. In the closet.
You still haven't had like a conscious conversation.
No, I haven't. So okay. They basically found out from that. There's probably one person in my life who doesn't know for like at least like for sure, and that's my grandmother. And I feel like I wouldn't want to have that conversation like with her because she is very religious, and it's been a very a part of her life, like a large part of her life.
Right.
And
like you just don't feel like she'd be able to understand.
I mean, I was raised by my grandmother too, so I'm saying like if I had that, I feel like just it being
you don't want to risk the rift that could potentially happen. Yeah.
And so I'm very close with her as well, so it's like I feel like I need to just keep that to myself. I wouldn't have that conversation open with her.
Okay.
I would say one thing, and I don't know how to speak because I don't know your grandma personally, but if you said she is a very religious person, and I personally like to use the term relationship because that's what I consider myself to have with Christ, a relationship. If you was to ask me in a non-deep conversation, am I religious, I'll probably respond to you as a no. And I'll say, I think your grandmother will probably be pretty accepting of you where you are right now, but as a person with relationship with Christ, she'll probably still pray for you like she prayed for you while you was growing up, that you'll probably come to know him like she knows him. And I think that's one of the things, and don't mean to come off topic a little, but one of the things that is prevalent in the black society, and that's what I'm thankful for, I guess religion, is that a lot of our parents were more religious than us, and they had a different type of relationship, and we kind of fell away from that thing. But when the Bible says, like, you know, God hears the prayers of the fathers and the mothers, and that they pray for us to reach a certain point in our lives and to do certain things in our lives. And I honor God for blessing us. And I know Simon don't want me giving God credit for what he believes he has accomplished, but I truly believe God blesses us and hears the prayers of our parents or our grandparents who have prayed for us to do better in life. And, you know, I think she will just pray for you. I would say in my situation, personally, one of the conversations I was like, okay, so, Dad, you know, I'm practicing this thing. I'm staying away from women. I don't want to have sex with nobody.
Uh-huh.
And after a while, like about 6 months into it, my dad was like, he called me up and was like, Caden, I got one question to ask you. And boy, know that I love you regardless. But are you gay?
Wow.
Because I stayed away from women. And he saw that evident in my life. Like when I lived in New York, I took a stance of just like, you know, almost putting myself in some type of solitude, you will say. And my dad saw that, and the first thing he will think is that, you know, my son must be gay because he see that a lot of women like me, but I never go after
him. He had to put that out there.
So that was always his assumption. Why did my son not give these girls the attention that they want from him?
Right.
And I think, well, other than that, other than those type of encounters, people assuming you to be something that you're not, then it's been fine with me coming out.
Okay. So I guess to wrap it up a little bit, is it something that we have to do, like, actively to make people, like, more accepting? Or
more
is it
comfortable?
Or is it just, like, just live and hope that everyone will get along and not chastise anyone for being, like, you know, overtly religious or for being atheist? Or is there anything we can do?
I would say we need to basically organize and identify, like, under a pan-African umbrella. So, like, regardless of, you know, social economic status, regardless of a religious affiliation, regardless of even ethnic backgrounds as far as Haitian and African American,
Trinidadian.
Yeah. Regardless of all these different things that can basically kind of, you know, stratify us and keep us thinking that we're very different, we can unify under like a pan-African umbrella. And let's recognize that we may have certain differences in the way that we approach life or the way we way we approach life, or there's different cultural differences, but there overall is like a pan-African unity, and I feel like that in itself would at least open up dialogue between people who are not religious and those who are. So like me and Caden outside of this room, like, that's my brother right there. Like, we got mad love for each other, even though, as we said, we're basically almost on the opposite sides of the spectrum.
Right, right.
But like, we know at the end of the day, like, that's my boy.
Right.
And I can probably just say ditto to literally everything Simon said. You know, outside of this room, Simon is my boy. And I think we need to find our common ground. And I don't know, me and Simon, common ground is our love for the Black community. And that's what really unites us. And I think it's important for people to get together on the things that unite them. And sometimes some of the other stuff starts rubbing off. But I think we could have one essential focus, and we could be focused on the things that unite us. I would say, though, that it's definitely not something you can ignore. You know, just like I'm a Black man in the United States of America, that just can't be ignored. And I think anytime when people try to ignore who you are, you kind of resent them a little. You kind of feel alienated. You kind of feel shut. You kind of feel caged in and locked up. Mm-hmm. I know when I'm at work and they will talk about anything. They will curse people's mom out. They'll say anything at work. But if you say anything Black, it's like you just took it too far. You know, anything relating to color, you just took it too far. And that's an essential part of my identity. So how could I not want to talk about myself?
Right.
And then I feel the same way about my Christianity. That's an essential part of who I am. And that's another thing in society that pretty much is not PC to really talk about, especially
right.
at work and in these type of places. You know, keep that stuff in your closet. You know, keep those stuff in the closet. You know,
right.
We can't really speak about those things. So, you know, you got to talk about it.
Okay. Well, it was a really good discussion, I think, and I want to thank you guys for coming on and talking about possibly what could offend someone if they heard it.
Or maybe a spark discussion for other
people.
That's
true. Yeah, that's true. So maybe.
So we want to thank y'all for providing this platform for us to
discuss,
I think, a very important topic within our community, within the population on which we're speaking, like, not on behalf of, but just as a
as members
sample
yeah.
of
right the population. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so that's Talk 360, our 360 topic. If you have any comments, if you enjoyed our guest, if you want to see a picture of Caden, are you
a
single
picture.
Now I gotta ask.
I'm in a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Okay. Hey, all right, so I can't help you out, ladies, sorry.
But if you were incited if we incited any type of thought, or if there's an aspect of the discussion you felt like we missed and we didn't explore, hit us up.
Yeah. Talk360Show, that's Twitter, and asktalk360@gmail.com. Okay, so that's our 360 topic. Thanks again, guys.
Oh, I just want to say one thing to my saints. I said thoughts and not thoughts, and I said as and not ass. But okay. If you find anything I said offensive, just pray for me.
Okay. Amen.
All right. Yes. So our usual, we're going to go into our usual 360 no. And this week, oh man. Yeah. So a lot of us like brunch. A lot of us like all the drinks they give us at brunch. And this particular place in Milwaukee sells Bloody Marys with their brunch with a whole fried chicken as garnish. Like, I wish you could see the picture.
She said a whole fried chicken.
Like,
she did not say a chicken wing. She did not say a drumette. She did not say a drumstick.
I mean, even if it was a drumstick, we would still be alarmed. Like, why is chicken on your drink?
I would, but there's levels. And I think that a whole fried chicken is doing a lot.
But not only
what kills me, though, is the picture that I saw in this article.
They
when
had
I
to
drop off the link. I need people who listen to the show to please, please, please check out our Tumblr, because I'm going to drop off the link. I need y'all to see this man and his grin and how happy and elated he is by this stupid drink that he's holding that has an entire chicken, an entire bird hanging out of it. That's dumb. Like, I try not to judge people like that. And I told y'all I'm on an initiative. I don't want to hate people. I love y'all. Y'all are beautiful when you want to be. But this right here is just stupid. Like, why?
Well, I'll tell you why. Supposedly, it's a $50 drink, and they're starting an initiative that they give $5 of each drink to the hunger.
Ask me for a donation and stop wasting these chickens.
But, like, how does that work? Do you, like, take it off now and, like, rip it apart? Like, do they give you a knife and a fork with your drink?
I don't care how it works.
And not only that, though, they have, like, bacon and cheese on there, too, and, like, all the other garnishes of Bloody Marys. By the way, Bloody Mary is disgusting, so I don't even know why you'd want that.
So just serve a meal and give them the drink. Like, I don't get it. I just think it's dumb.
Anyways, 360 no to...
You and your stupid grin.
Oh, the guy?
Yes.
And to the pub that does it. It's called Sobelman's Pub and Grill in Milwaukee. They get our 360 no today. As you know, this is where we wrap up our show. And we leave you with 10 words of or less words of advice. And I couldn't think of much this time, so I stole one from a friend of mine that always, whenever I complain or go through my dramatics or whatever, she tells me, life's rough, grab a helmet. So,
that's struggle that. Is real?
Struggle is real.
All right. So, my 10 words or less today, in the words of the great Houdini, friends, how many of us have them?
Don't sing
friends.
Again. Please do not sing.
That was just because I felt so loved over this past weekend, y'all. I appreciate everybody. New friends, old friends, everybody who celebrated with me. I had a very happy birthday, and I love you all.
Aw, that's sweet. I love you back.
That was actually to everybody but Kisa. Just kidding. All right, y'all. We've done enough for today.
Cold world, no snuggie. So along with the helmet, I need to buy myself a snuggie.
You do.
All right. So again, we want to thank Simon and Caden for dropping
by.
Thanks,
y'all. It's been real. Y'all want to sign off for the people?
One love, black power, revolution.
Okay, no bye from Caden. So
the one thing I will say is that know that this Christian walk is really about love. And if anyone is not preaching that particular gospel, then they're really not preaching Christ.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Let us know.
Okay, so that's it for Talk 360.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.